Tonight I want to start out with a little Bible study and then get to my message. I just want to, and again, it's what I'm going to preach tonight is very simple in content, but it's tremendous in truth. And I found over the years that that's the way it usually works. What are the simplest concepts are the greatest and deepest truths. You know, we teach the little kids back in junior church and in the nursery and the primary to sing that song, "Jesus Loves Me." And again, if you stop and think about the words, what wonderful truth that's in that little course. I mean, you know, we sometimes when we're teaching the kids, we take it for granted, and you know, we just get them to do the words. But if you just stop and think, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." And so my Bible study tonight is as simple like that, but again, tremendous truth. Just look at verse 23 with me if you still have your Bibles open. If you don't, it's an easy verse to remember. And let me just mention a couple things about it. It starts out, "and whatsoever." And so I want to ask you tonight, you don't need to answer, but I want to ask you tonight, what does that word mean? The word whatsoever. It means anything, everything, whatsoever. I mean anything and everything, whatsoever. And it says, "and whatsoever ye." Now here's a tough question. Who's the ye in that verse? I told you it's going to be simple, Don, so just stay with me. The ye is you and me. It's us. And so it says, "whatsoever, anything and everything, ye," that's us, you and me, "and whatsoever ye do," that's our actions. That's what any action and every action we take. "And whatsoever ye do," it says, "do it heartily." Heartily means with all your heart, with all your spirit, with all your soul, with all your breath, with your all. Do it heartily. What it means is, if you're going to do it, do it. If you're going to do it, really do it. Do it vigorously. Do it actively. Do it with your whole heart. I mean, you can tell when you look at people and what they do, half-hearted actions compared to, man, this guy is really excited about what they're doing. I mean, you can tell. And so this is God giving us instructions. He says, "and whatsoever, anything and everything, ye," that's us, "do," that's our actions. He says, "do it heartily." And then notice what he says, "as to the Lord and not unto men." Now our actions may affect other people. And in most cases, our actions are directed toward other people. We're doing something for them. We're doing something with them. We're doing something sometimes against them. And our actions are seen and experienced by other people, and our actions may be for other people, but what this verse is teaching us, the reason I'm to do everything, the reason I'm to do whatsoever I do heartily, is I'm not doing it for other people. I'm doing it as I'm doing it unto the Lord. You remember Jesus said one time, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you comforted me." And they said, Lord, when did we do that to you? And he said, "in that you've done it unto these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me." And so put those verses together and what the Lord is saying, whatever you do, everything and anything you do, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, because you're not just doing it for men, you're doing it unto me. So let me ask you a question. How did you come to church tonight? I don't want you to answer me, I just want you to think about it. How did you come to church tonight? Did you just come? There may be some here tonight, the young ones, that said, "well, I came because I had to. You know, my dad said they were going and they didn't give me a choice. They just said, get in the car, we're going to church." Some of you might have come tonight with the attitude, "well, I didn't have anything better to do, so here I am." Now, I would say all of those reasons, if you just came, or if you came because somebody made you come, or if you didn't have anything better to do, those are what I would describe actions that are not heartily as unto the Lord. But if you came with the idea and the attitude, hey, here's another chance to come into God's house. Here's another chance to fellowship with God's people. Here's another chance to study God's word. Here's another chance for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of me and work in my life. I'm so excited that I just can't wait to get there. I'm so excited that I can't wait till 6 o'clock. I'm so excited that I can't wait till we start singing, till we start praying, till we start handshaking with each other. I'm just so excited. I just can't wait till I get there. That would be doing it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Now, so, and again, you know, sometimes we just sort of drift when it comes to our service for God. We just sort of, you know, it's like, and many people do this in a lot of different areas of their life, not just in their spiritual life. I mean, it's just like on an inner tube, and they get in a creek or a river that has a current, and they sort of let the current just carry them along. And they just sort of drift through their Christian life. They just sort of drift through their life in other areas of their life. They just sort of go with the flow. And what God is telling us in this verse is, I don't want you to go with the flow. I want you to make your own waves. I want you to do it heartily, because you're doing it to me, not unto man. And so again, let's just talk about in this realm for a minute. And then I'm going to move into some other realms. But when you come to church, how do you sing? How do you sing? I mean, do you get the hymn book out when Adam calls out the number? And do you just sing? I mean, sometimes we sing and we don't even pay attention to the words that we're singing. Sometimes we know the song and it just becomes routine and rote. And we, yes, we're singing the right words, but we never think about what we're singing. We never think about the message of the song. And again, I would say singing that way is not singing heartily as unto the Lord. Singing heartily is when we put our whole heart into it. When we think about the words. I think about that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's the matter with getting excited about the things of God? What's the matter with getting emotional about the things of God? What's the matter with thinking about the words that we're singing, and we get so moved by the words that we forget about who's standing next to us? We forget about how we sound. The Bible never says we have to be on key. Thank God for that, because none of the men would be in the choir. But he just says we have to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the more you think about what you're singing, the more joyful you can be. That would be doing it heartily. How about your Bible reading? I mean, I know some of you read your Bibles in the morning. I know some of you read your Bibles at night. I know some of you read your Bibles at noon. I know some of you are rushing to get through your Bibles because the end of the year is coming up, and you're trying to make up ground so you can keep your commitment to read through the Bible this year. But when you get to your Bible, how do you approach it? You say, oh, I wish I had not promised to read it through this year. I've got to spend hours now, and I just don't have time. I mean, do you pick it up and you say, oh, do you pick it up and say, I got to do this. I just got to read my Bible. Now, by the way, if that's the only reason you do it, do it. I'd rather you do it out of a sense of duty than not doing it at all. I'd rather you get up and say, well, I got to do this. I made a promise. I got to get it done. I'd rather you do it for that reason than not do it at all. But I'd rather you do it heartily when you open this book and say, this is from God. This is God's word. I mean, the God that created everything around us, the God that created the heavens and the earth and everything that's, I mean, this is God. It's word. And he wrote it for me. I remember when I was going to college, and I would get a letter from my girlfriend. I mean, that was a sweet time. I mean, I checked the mailbox every day. If they were late with putting the letters in the mailbox, I'd be knocking on the postmaster's door. The guy that served put them in the mailbox said, where's the mail? Where's the mail? And I didn't tear into that letter and say, oh, I got to read this. No, I tore into that letter because I wanted to read it. I wanted to see what she would say. That's the same way we ought to get into this book. This is a love letter from God. This is a book from God, words from God. We sang it tonight, wonderful words of life. This is a message from God. Now look, I know, I'm not going to use that example. But that's the way it ought to be when we open this book. We ought to do it heartily, heartily. I think about Brother Leonard. I don't know how many of you know this. He'll start studying. He's probably already started next week's lesson. I don't know if you start on Monday or start on Sunday afternoon. But he studies Monday. I know this. He studies Monday. He studies Tuesday. He studies Wednesday. He studies Thursday. He studies Friday. He studies Saturday. And he may get up, for all I know, and go over again on Sunday morning before he gets here. He does not teach a lesson half-hearted. When he stands up here in front of you on Sunday morning, and I know you know this because you come, but when he stands up here on Sunday morning and teaches you the lesson, he is doing it heartily as unto the Lord with hours and hours and hours of study and prayer that goes into that lesson. I pity the people that come and have a teacher that read the lesson on Saturday night and try to get up and teach it on Sunday morning and do it heartily. They can't do it. He can do it heartily because of the time in prayer and the time in study that he has put in. And that's the way it ought to be. When I preach, I just don't want to come up here and give you something that I don't feel. I want to give you something that I've gotten from God that week. And every time I preach, I want my last message to be my best. Not from the best standpoint of delivery or anything like that, but the best message that moves your hearts and moves your minds to get closer to God. I'm not going to stand up here half prepared or half cocked or anything like that. I want you to feel, hey, that guy's excited about getting to preach. And I was just burning last weekend. I said, I want to preach. I was just burning because I wanted to get in the pulpit. I mean, I was gone Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There were 7 or 8 times I could have preached and I missed it. And when I stand before you, I want to do it heartily because I'm not doing it for you. I mean, you hear it, and the Holy Spirit, I hope, uses it. But one day, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account unto him for how I used every minute behind this pulpit. I don't want to do it half-heartedly. I want to do it heartily. And again, too many people, not only in their Christian life, but in every area of their life, they just float through life. They drift through life, and they don't do it heartily. Now, we should do it in our Christian life, but in every area of our life, I don't see where this verse makes a distinction. And whatsoever ye do spiritually, or whatsoever ye do in church, or whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. It says, what does it say? Whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now let me move into some other realms and just ask you some things tonight. Let me talk to the husbands for just a second. How did you tell your wives today that you loved them? Don't answer out loud. But how did you tell your wives today that you loved them? First of all, I ask you, did you? Did you tell them today that you love them? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus loves us. And he tells us every day that he loves us. Every day, if we're paying attention, God tells us, I love you. I love you. It may be something we see. It may be something we read in this book. It may be something that somebody says to us. But every day, if we pay attention, God in some way tells us that he loves us. Now, if we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then I think his expectation for us as husbands is we're to tell our wives every day that we love them. So, did you today, and how did you do it? I remember the story of the man and his wife. And they were married, and a few years after they were married, the wife comes to the husband and says, "Honey, how come you never tell me that you love me anymore?" And he says, "Well, I told you the day after we were married, and if anything changes, I'll be sure to let you know." And too many husbands spend their life like that. God tells us every day that he loves us. As husbands, I think he expects us to tell our wives every day that we love them. So my question is, how'd you do it? Heartily or not so heartily? I mean, did you get up and give him a peck on the cheek and say, "I love you"? Or did you take them in your arms, look them right in the eye, and say, "Honey, I love you. You're the greatest gift that I have from God. And I want you to know I love you more than life itself." And I know what you're saying. You husbands are saying, "My wife would faint if I did that." Or at least she'd be wondering what I have been up to. Huh? And if the kids saw it, they would think, "Man, Dad has been smoking something, or he's gone off the deep end." But listen, which one of those ways would you describe as being heartily? The first one or the second one? I mean, we're not voting, we're just, asking. I think the second one would be heartily as unto the Lord. Now, unfortunately, most of us, sometimes days pass before we tell our wives that we love them. And that's not the way it should be. We should tell them every day, and we should tell them heartily, heartily, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our all. We need to tell them that we love them heartily, because we're not doing it for them. We're doing it as unto the Lord. And when we stand before him, we're not just going to be judged for how many times we came to church. We're just not going to be judged for how many times we read the Bible. We're not going to be judged for how many people we told about Jesus. We're going to be judged as to what kind of husbands we were. That's going to be part of the accounting before God. He said, "I gave you this gift of a wife. What did you do with it?" Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. The last meal that you cooked for your family, how did you do it? Was it something that you rushed in at the last minute, looked in the freezer and say, "This looks good," pop it in the microwave, hit the button, and wait for the microwave to do all the cooking and say, "Here you go, honey"? Or did you think, "I'm cooking for my family. It needs to be healthy. It needs to be good." And so you think about it and plan for it and prepare it, and you do it with all your heart. I was thinking about it. Isn't it a shame that when company is coming over, we get out the china, we get out the silver, we get out the glasses, we use cloth napkins, and we put a lot of time and planning into a meal because we want to impress our company. And I was thinking, who should we be more concerned about? The company that comes maybe once or twice a year, or that one who has provided and protected and loved you ever since you've been married? Who should we treat more heartily? I mean, I can remember my grandma on my mom's side. We went over there every other Sunday. We always used the china. We always used the silver. We always used these fancy glasses. We did use paper napkins because we were kind of slobby as kids, but so she didn't want to wash the napkins. But she made it a big deal. She wanted us to know that she thought about it. She prayed about it. She planned it. I remember, I don't know, we have a record. I don't think I have it anymore, but it's a record. And it's a Charlie Brown musical. It's a musical they made about Charlie Brown. And there's one song on there that Snoopy, you know, Snoopy the dog, is singing. And he's laying on his doghouse, and he's starting to think about supper. And he starts this little song. Supper time. Oh, it's supper time. It's supper time. And can, I got to see the words now. I can't remember it. Let's see. And when supper time comes, can supper be far away? Bring on the dog food. Bring on the bones. Daddy little puppy loves supper time. And he just singing and dancing around. And here comes Charlie Brown. This deep preaching, isn't it, Harry? And Charlie Brown comes. He said, Snoopy, why can't you eat supper like any other dog? And Snoopy's response to Charlie Brown is, what's wrong with making supper time a joyous occasion? And I asked the same question tonight. What's wrong? I mean, and again, Brother Clint mentioned to me a minute ago when we were shaking hands, he said, you know, that's probably the 7th million, and he quoted a long number, 7,456,858 hand you've shaken. Maybe. But I want you to know when I shake hands with you, I want to tell you how I feel about you. I want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you I'm glad you're here. What's wrong with doing that for supper tomorrow night? Say, it's just going to be me and my husband. So? Isn't that a whatsoever? Isn't that a do? Doesn't that fall under this same verse? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Dads and moms, grandpas and grandmas, children, grandchildren, don't care how old they are, from the babies to the teenagers to the young people that are still living at home. You know what we do sometimes? We pray, Lord, just get me through today. Just help me make it through the day. Aaron's starting to ask the question, why? When we were on vacation, we always sleep in the same room. And why? And you get to the point, I've got to the point, I always try to ask him a question back. Why? Well, why, Aaron? Why? And he just keeps asking, why? You've been there. All of you have. And sometimes when our kids are little and they're underfoot and we're stressed out about a bunch of stuff, we just say, oh, you know, on the weekends, can't wait till Monday. They go back to school and I can get some relief and rest. And then, you know, Friday comes, oh, another weekend. And they get underfoot, and it doesn't get any better when they get older because you worry about different things. You know, you worry about who they're going to be with, and you worry about what they're going to do and what time they're going to be home. And even then, we say, Lord, just get me through this. Get me through this. And yet, I would remind you, the Bible says children are a gift from God. We only have them for a little while. Candy and I have talked often about grandchildren. And we've talked, you know, you got to enjoy them while you can. Because they ain't going to be around, or else you're not going to be around too long. You got to enjoy them when you can. And so I would tell you, why shouldn't every day with our kids or our grandchildren, we do it heartily as unto the Lord? Don't get up and say, oh, Lord, just get me through today. I want this day to end. No, this is a day I get to spend. And I know this is a whole lot harder to do than it is to say. But that's what preaching's all about. It's trying to set something out there before you that you go after. But this is a day that I get to spend with my kids. This is a day I get to spend with my grandchildren. Lord, help me to do it heartily. Heartily. As unto you, not just to them. Same thing. And again, I'll be brief as I finish up. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend? Are you a friend that interacts with your friends heartily? Or do you take them for granted? Do you just go with the flow? What kind of worker are you? Are you a, I was talking to Who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to Ann up at the hospital this afternoon. And she was telling me how much she loves her job. She said, I'd work even if they didn't pay me. She works at the Veterans Hospital and ministers to veterans. She said, I love my job. I don't want to be off for 2 weeks. I want to go back to work. I feel I have a job. I enjoy my job, and I feel like I'm serving other people. And she works heartily. Don't go into work if you're still working. Don't go into work and just go through the motions. You're not just doing it for the person or the company that's signing your paycheck. You're doing it unto the Lord. One more, and then I'll quit. How about your driving? Your driving. I was thinking about this as I was driving up to Saginaw. It's not in my notes. I was thinking about it. I was driving up to Saginaw this afternoon to see her. You know, sometimes we get in a car and we drive and we don't think about what we're doing. I mean, I was at Bridgeport, and the next thing I knew, I was at 675 up there, and I hadn't realized that I had made that journey from Bridgeport up to 675. I mean, there was nothing that registered in my mind. I don't know if I blacked out or zoned out or what. And I got to thinking, you know, there are people all over the world that would like to do what I did this afternoon. Get in a car, even though it's kind of beat up right now, but get in a car and just drive. Just drive. They've never had that privilege. They've never had the opportunity to have a car and have the freedom to just get in it and go from point A to point B and just drive. And I decided I'm going to start driving heartily. That doesn't mean I'm going to drive fast, Shorty. It just means I'm going to pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to pay attention to this privilege that I have to drive. And I'm going to drive as unto the Lord. I'll have to change my attitude about some things, Nick. I know that already if I'm doing it unto the Lord. Again, everything that we do, whatsoever, whether it be in our work for God or, and again, a lot of people make the separation between the spiritual and the secular. There ain't no separation. Because everything we do, this verse says, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. We know that God does not like half-hearted efforts. In the church to Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God expects everything we do, whatsoever we do, to do it heartily. Now, let me ask you a question and I'm done. Say, preacher, do you think other people expect us to do it heartily? Do you think other people expect us to do everything we do heartily? Well, what do you think? If I was to get all the husbands off to the side and ask the question, okay, guys, what do you think? Do you think your wife would like you to love them half-heartedly or heartedly? What do you think? Don't answer out loud. Just think about how you'd answer that. How would they want you to love them? I would dare say that every wife would want their husband to love them not half-heartedly, but heartily, with all their heart, with all their energy, with all they have. If I could get your friends in a room and ask them, well, what kind of friend do you think this person should be? They would answer the same way. I would want a friend that was a friend heartily, not half-heartedly, but heartily. If I could get all the employers in the room, and all the people that we work for, and ask them the question, what do you want, a half-hearted worker or a worker that works heartily? You know the answer. They would want somebody that works heartily. And so others are looking for that. Others are looking for us to do whatever we do heartily. And the second thing as I close is this, so's the Lord. So's the Lord. And again, when we stand before him, we are not going to be judged for our sins. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you got a problem because you will be judged for your sins. And if you've never asked Christ to save you, tonight you need to do that. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. One day you're going to stand before God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be judged for your sins, and your sins are going to send you to hell. And there's no second chances. You go, and that's it. That's it. But tonight, I think most of us are Christians. As I look around and know your testimonies, most of us are Christians. We're not going to stand before God and be judged for our sins. They're all underneath the blood. They're all covered. They're all taken care of. But we are going to be judged for how we've lived our life. How have we taken advantage of the opportunities that God has given us? How have we run the race that God has given us to run? And again, it's just not going to be how were you on your church attendance, how were you on your Bible reading, how were you on your prayer. It's going to be included. What kind of husband were you? What kind of wife were you? What kind of worker were you? What kind of friend were you? What kind of parent were you? What kind of grandparent were you? What kind of child were you? Hey, I'll just stop and take. You know, children, you need to be heartily children. Huh? Well, and what I mean by that, you know, most of you, you don't ever think about what your mom and dad do. You don't think about, you know, you sit down at the table and you expect food to be there. Okay? You don't think about where it comes from. And I know, you know, when you're little, you probably shouldn't have to worry about that. But you reach an age where you need to think about, I wonder where this came from. I wonder how much dad had to work to get this. I wonder how much mom had to work to prepare it. And you need to be heartily in your thanks and your love toward them. And so again, when we stand before God, we're going to account. Again, not just the stuff for the stuff that we think about in the spiritual world, but the stuff in the secular world. A husband, a wife, a friend, a worker, a parent, a grandparent. All of those are opportunities from God. All of those are opportunities that he gives us to serve him. And he says, remember, you're not doing it for them. I mean, they are the beneficiaries of your action, but you're not doing it for them. Take your eyes off them, put them on the Lord, and say, Lord, what kind of husband do you want me to be? What kind of wife do you want me to be? What kind of worker do you want me to be? What kind of friend do you want me to be? What kind of parent do you want me to be? What kind of grandparent do you want me to be? Because he's the one that's going to hold us accountable and give us rewards for our service. So do it heartily. Thank you. Don't just be the one that gets on the inner tube and floats down the stream. Make some waves. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us in every area of life. And I pray we could grasp, get a hold of this truth tonight. And I pray, Father, maybe not in all areas, but maybe it's just one area that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us as individuals about tonight. And I pray we'd listen. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, we would recognize where we're being half-hearted about things, and we'd realize that that doesn't please our Father, that he wants us to do it heartily. And so I pray you'll help us to do that. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'll come and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible that they're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is separation from God. But Jesus died to pay the price for their sin, and he'll save them tonight if they ask him. So help that one. If there's just one here, Father, that's not sure that they're saved, help that one to come. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.